Was there any way for you to escape?
Like I said, once that door shut, I didn't know where I was. And this man's presence was so intimidating that even if I had tried to, I don't think that I could have. I don't think that I could have. It's hard to talk about this in retrospect, but when you realize in the moment, you know, we talk about fight or flight, you know, when you're threatened. A lot of times we don't talk about the third element of that, which is freeze, which is the most common. And when you freeze, you don't know how to process what's going on right now.
It was disgusting. He wasn't mean or anything, but he got up and he said thanks and walked out, and I sat there in bed just horrified and ashamed and felt dirty, and I had to get up and grab a shower. And you know, the next day Ghislaine tells me I did a really good job. It was a wicked time in my life. It was a really scary time in my life. I had just been abused by a member of a royal family. So when you talk about these chains, you know, yeah, I wasn't chained to a sink, but these powerful people were my chains. I didn't know what could happen. And I couldn't comprehend how on the highest levels of the government and powerful people were allowing this to happen, not only allowing it to happen, but participating in it.
Hello and welcome to Real Crime Profile. This is Jim Clemente, retired FBI profiler, former New York City prosecutor and writer-producer of CBS's Criminal Minds. And with me today is...
Laura Richards, criminal behavioral analyst, former New Scotland Yard and founder of Paladin National Stalking Advocacy Service.
And I'm Lisa Zambetti, casting director for CBS's Criminal Minds.
In last week's episode, we calculated Jeffrey Epstein's score on Dr. Roberts Hare's psychopathy checklist. He finished with a score of at least 35 out of 40, clearly high enough to be considered a psychopath. But in this episode, we'll look at what that score actually means to us.
I was in the government for 5 years on the New York City level and then 22 years in the FBI. And at various times in my career, I saw things that I didn't want to be a part of and so forth. And when this started emerging about what happened with Epstein down in Florida, the initial local investigation, and then the feds were brought in, and I thought they were going to actually push justice forward. But then the complete reversal on the part of Acosta, and then actually him doing things, and then actually Acosta making a deal that was so outrageous, and then Acosta actually moving up in his career. These things I just can't separate in my mind. And what it calls to mind, though, is something that they did slightly touch on in the sixth episode, and that is Epstein's connection to the Mossad. And that's Israel's intelligence agency. And that, I believe, may be the key. John Mark Dugan also mentioned that he was visited by members of an intelligence agency. The FBI is not an intelligence agency. The FBI is a counterintelligence agency. The FBI is responsible for preventing foreign spies from coming into the United States and getting information from people here. The CIA and a bunch of other agencies are actually our intelligence agencies. There's a lot of them. I believe it's possible that Epstein used his glib and superficial charm, his manipulative behavior, his cunning to actually worm his way into a situation where he was, quote, giving information to intelligence agencies and they were protecting him. I believe that is why, that's the only reason I can come up with,
wow,
that the U.S. Attorney's Office would have done a complete 180, a complete reversal, bent over backwards to find ways to get him the most ridiculously expansive immunity deal that I have ever seen in the entire time that I've been in law enforcement. And to me, he probably did it by using some of his other psychopathic traits, where he parasitically lived off of somebody else in a position where they had some information, or he manipulated and pathologically lied about what he knew. Think of it. He's running around the world with these heads of states. He buys his own island. He has his own country. Anybody could go, come and go there. And he could use that to say, hey, I will offer to have a meeting with this guy.
I think that's very, very possible.
And just like Lisa Bloom talked about making an intro to Rose McGowan and making friends with her so that they can find out information and manipulate her, I think that's exactly what Jeffrey Epstein probably did with somebody who our intelligence agencies were very interested in. And I believe they bent over backwards to protect him because of that, because he had that access. That's the only thing that makes sense in my brain. I have just never seen such a complete turnabout. When the evidence obviously exists, when all those girls are out there, I mean, dozens and dozens of girls were out there, victims, and all these other people who he attempted to protect and did, in fact, protect, at least for a period of time, with this immunity agreement, this non-prosecution agreement that was overreaching and outrageous. I believe his connections with royalty in the UK, with wealthy people around the world, I believe that's what he used to manipulate himself out of this situation.
I mean, Ghislaine Maxwell also had those connections and contacts via Robert Maxwell. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was that whole question about, did he take his own life? Did he accidentally fall over the boat? Did he not? Ghislaine thought he'd been murdered, which is why she then disappeared for some time. So I don't think it's a stretch too far, but I still can't rule out just the simplicity of the world designed by men for men, of handshakes, money exchanges, or leverage in terms of male or people being named. I think those things are very powerful in the background as well. And of course, it could be all of those things, but it's certainly something's rotten in Denmark.
Yeah, but when you mentioned about the cop who had the information and about John Mark Dugan and his fear for his life, I mean, I think John Mark Dugan unfortunately stepped across the line and gave away information about law enforcement officers and FBI agents. That was illegal. Shouldn't have done that. If he hadn't, I don't think he would have had to go on the run, but he seems to be afraid for his life. Whether that's real or imagined, I don't know. But when other people die just mysteriously, there are all sorts of cases where the Mossad, I mean, literally has admitted to going after, let's say, the terrorists who killed the Israeli athletes. I mean, they went and hunted each one of them down around the world and killed them illegally in other countries. They didn't extradite them and put them through the process. They went out and murdered them. And they're proud of that fact that they have the ability. The Russians also have killed people with radiation poisoning and gotten away with it. You can go on YouTube and see where hits are done by teams of intelligence officers. They show you when they get off the plane, when they log into hotels, when they come out as a different person and log into another hotel, and then they meet and convene and do all that kind of stuff. That stuff exists. I mean, it's a real world thing. So I could understand if John Mark Dugan had never done anything criminal, that he might be afraid of that because he's exposing people like that. But I also want to understand why is the FBI raiding his house? Well, if it's because he gave away names and addresses and information about FBI agents, I understand that, because that's private, confidential information. Those agents risk their lives every day to put really bad people in jail. And giving out their information puts them at risk. And the same with law enforcement officers. Shouldn't have been done. I don't understand why he did it. But was the FBI also involved because there was an intelligence aspect to this? It's possible. And I don't know. This is complete and pure speculation. Obviously, I had nothing to do with the cases. I didn't even know Jeffrey Epstein existed at the time that this deal was made. And I was working in the FBI at the time. I worked in child sexual victimization. That should tell me they didn't reach out to us to get an expert's view on this case or to help them build the case against Epstein. I've testified in cases across the country and around the world. to help them build the case so people understood why victims would delay disclosure, so people understood that victims can have problems, and about compliant victimization and grooming and so forth. And I would have been happy to do that in Epstein's case, but Florida United States Attorney's Office never reached out to me or any of my colleagues in the BAU. Why? Why didn't they do that? What kept them from doing it? Why did they give him that sweetheart deal? That's the only thing I can come up with.
We are so happy to tell you about our amazing theme song writer and performer, Simba Tsumba, and his BFF, Jonathan Mbaya, and their hit podcast, Tings and Things, ranked number 3 in top podcasts in Kenya. In Tings and Things, these great guys with engaging rapport explore their lives and adventures living between the U.S. and Africa. We're so happy for them and their success. You can check out Tings and Things wherever you listen to podcasts. You'll find the link in our feed.
There's so much secrecy around Epstein that we don't really know how much money he made at his peak. But according to court filings from July 2019, he made over $500 million. But most of his assets were tied to hedge funds, stocks, as well as properties around the globe. There are a lot of theories about how Epstein made his money. But over the coming months, investigators will be parsing through his financial statements, and hopefully we'll have some more answers.
John Mark Dugan, I do believe, was exposing corruption, and corruption that was leveled at Sheriff Rick Bradshaw's door. And he's a very powerful individual. And he then found himself at the end of a gross misconduct investigation. And I have to say, I have seen that, Jim, when good people are then... they have a target on their back because right. they're exposing people not doing their jobs. And that was, I believe, the genesis of what happened. And so they can come up with a legit reason and say, well, we're searching your house, we're raiding your house because of the fact you're exposing police officers. Right. It could come down to the fact that he has got the files that Joe Ricari gave him on the Epstein case too. Mm-hmm. So I think it can always be masked as something else. And I do have grave reservations that here was somebody trying to do the right thing and trying to protect the innocent and took his job very seriously as a sworn officer, and he then became the target. The way that it came about, I think when you're in a situation like that, it's very hard at times to think things through rationally. He realized he had a very small window of time that he either stayed and he was arrested and tortured and killed, as numerous police officers had said that that's what they wanted to do, or he disappeared himself, which is the action that he took. But in terms of, you know, Mossad, well, yes, if you have been following Ronan Farrow's catch and kill and his investigation into Weinstein, then there were threats on his life because of what he was exposing. So I absolutely believe and know the cases that you're referencing in the UK as well, that there are people who make people disappear. And, you know, this is it all incredibly, I call it murky, but it goes much deeper than that. It is hugely concerning. And I think a reference of you saying that, given your specialism, that you weren't even aware of Epstein also speaks volumes.
Right.
Because it wasn't in people's interests, or it sounds like it wasn't in people's interests for other good people to be involved in this case. There were lots of people who just wanted it to go away. And when we think about Acosta, who came on the scene as the, yeah, let's do something about this guy, we've got to take him down. That was his original bid around Epstein. And then the 52-page indictment is put together. And there is that attitude and an appetite and will and energy to do something, to then it suddenly change to this non-prosecution agreement. Then what is the reason for Acosta? Well, we see a reward that he gets. Sometimes it's the Occam's razor, isn't it? It's the most obvious explanation, the yeah. simplest explanation. That is it just a case, as we saw with Epstein and Stewart and other journalists, that he understands what it is that they want? He understands their needs, and therefore he targets that, and he throws money at them, and he throws opportunities at them, and he throws meetings at them. Because I've seen that happen across my career. I can't make that happen myself, but I've seen other people, and certainly somebody who targeted me used all of those tactics. And he was allowed to do that because of the bloody patriarchy. That if I tried to do it the other way around, I wouldn't have been able to have spun it and have embarked upon that, a strategy like that, because I'm not, in inverted commas, powerful enough, and I don't have the connections, and I don't have this web of men or people connected to me that are in very powerful positions. And of course, Epstein did have that. He right. had people in his pocket, didn't he? He had videos of people that went to his house, and in each of those rooms, I'll never forget the descriptions. It was in James Patterson's book, who was a neighbor of Epstein. He published a book on Epstein with John Connolly. And he very clearly detailed in each of those rooms, it would just be like a massage table. And, you know, in the bathrooms, you'd have like big breasts and, you know, sex toys everywhere and pictures, you know, nude pictures everywhere. And all the comings and goings of people going to that property. And so I think this is just such a huge network, you know, of people that are involved who weren't just friends with Epstein, that were absolutely getting massages, and they'd created this unreal world, which I think the royal family are part of, this unreal world where anything goes and they can dress things up as experiment because it is an us and them. But I think the patriarchy for me is right at the root of it, and it stinks to high heaven and the double standards that are set. And I think that's really in the wake of Me Too, it's exposing, this case really does expose it much more than probably what we've ever seen before. Yeah. What do you think, Lisa?
Yeah, I don't know about the Mossad, but I definitely think that he had some big politician by the balls, and that's why he was able to get that sweet deal. I mean, if he's got Dershowitz and George Mitchell and Bill Richardson and Prince Andrew all going out to his island, there must be many, many people, maybe whose names that we don't know, but who are very powerful people, you know, that he good old fashioned blackmail that he was able to get protection from. But wow, my mind is blown though. It could be a much bigger conspiracy, but that is so scary.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a conspiracy. It's literally how the government works. If you are in a position to be an asset to a government or intelligence agency, then many times they will weigh your value and how much you can hurt the country against your behavior. And it's not the first time that I've heard of cases where somebody who was an asset actually walked away. And it hurts me to say it, but I just think that's what happened here. And it's disgusting. I think they valued the girl victims so little, and they valued him so highly, especially because of his connection, that they allowed him to do this. And that leads me to believe that somebody also got the message to him that you cannot say the only thing that would protect you, which is whatever the hell this whole thing is. And if you don't end your life, we're going to do it for you, and you're not going to have fun.
There's other cases involving Mr. Epstein that have been sealed. That was another one of the ways that he manipulated the justice system. His lawyers were able to seal a lot of the information, and that's why the Miami Herald went after this particular case as a way to try to start unsealing some of the things that have been secret in all these years.
Judge Mara, who has said that this non-prosecution agreement still stands, and also denied Epstein's victims' request to be kept abreast of developments in the investigation, the judge has denied them being kept up to date with things, which I think is a very concerning decision, particularly in light of all what's gone on. When we think about how the victims have been treated in this, and it still continues. And I think it's even more underlined in light of Epstein's death. So that probably is instructive, actually, that there is much more still going on because he is dead. And therefore, you would think that things would come out a lot quicker and decisions would be made that are in the victim's interests. But I'm not seeing any evidence of that. So perhaps that does talk to what you're saying, Jim. I think time will tell. I think there's still more, much more to come on this. And I think making the movies and the documentaries now is extremely premature. I think the passage of time will reveal a hell of a lot more.
Well, there you go.
That concludes, our extensive coverage. And I mean, I guess we may well return to Epstein if further things come to light. But again, just a plea to our listeners, please challenge language when you hear someone saying, oh, they're rather handsy or handy-andy or they're a perv or they're creepy. Ask questions about that. Don't turn a blind eye. Be upstanding. Be curious about what's happening for other people. And I really can't underline that enough because we can only do what we can within our own sphere of influence and what we can control. But if we don't become upstanders, if we turn a blind eye, we allow predators who hide in plain sight, who on the face of it might attach themselves to feminists or good causes, you know, to help male survivors or help female victims of child sex trafficking or sexual assault. But we've always got to ask the question, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not doing anything bad behind the scenes. And I hear that far too often, that, oh, because they did this one good deed or because they were with X and associated with Y, then they must be a good person. Well, that doesn't follow through. So if you are suspicious about something or it raises an eyebrow or just that moment, that gut feeling, do ask further questions.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So I think, Laura, that's an amazing point to end on, and it's not really the end, as you said. We will continue to follow the story and make updates to the deconstruction of the crimes of Jeffrey Epstein and the people around him in future episodes of Real Crime Profile. Till next time, thank you for listening. If you like deeper analysis like this episode on topics like Making a Murderer, Mindhunter, Escape at Dannemora,
The Case of Sally Challen, The Teacher's Pet, Lynette Dawson, The Exonerated Five and When They See Us, and The Disappearance of Madeleine McCann, you can listen to RCP on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on. And please be sure, if you like what we do, to give us a 5-star review.
Thank you for listening to Real Crime Profile. Real Crime Profile is produced and edited by Paul Francis Sullivan. Sound engineering by Mike Thal. Music is composed by Simba Tsumba. Logo art by Jim Clementi. Real Crime Profile is produced by XG Productions and distributed by Wondery.
For advice and support if you're experiencing stalking in the UK, you can contact Paladin National Stalking Advocacy Service on 0203 866 4107. Or you can go to the website where there's a lot of information and advice that you can follow on www.paladinservice.co.uk. If you're experiencing domestic abuse, you can call the National Domestic Violence Helpline for free on 0800 2000 247. In the US, if you're experiencing domestic abuse and need advice, shelter or counselling, you can call Genesis, the 24-hour hotline, on 214 946 4357. You can also go to their website for further advice or support, www.genesisshelter.org. And there's the domestic violence hotline on 800 799 7233. Yeah.